Hello, and thanks for joining me once again for the Shifting Perspectives podcast. My name is Richard Bailey, and today I'm joined by Jane Chong. Hello, Jane.
Hello, Richard.
2 years ago, Jane and a friend, who is also called Jane, started up a Bristol-based bakery called Step and Stone. The bakery works with people with learning disabilities to create handmade lavash flatbreads, but also to train the young people for future employment elsewhere in the catering industry. Jane is also mother to Alex and also to Andrew, who is 23 years old and has Down syndrome. So hello, Jane.
Hello, Richard.
Jane, perhaps we could start off with your bakery, Step and Stone. And I know that you work with young people with learning disabilities, but perhaps you could tell us what lay behind setting it up and why a bakery, and what are your future plans for Step and Stone?
Well, I met Jane Kippax through the Ups and Downs Southwest organisation, which is a support organisation for children and young people with Down syndrome in Somerset. And we had worked together on a charity ball, so we knew that we could work together. And we both independently had ideas that we should start a social enterprise to try and help the awful employment gap for young people with learning disabilities. So Jane had lived in Australia, lived in Melbourne, and lavash are much more common over there than they are over here, and she thought that it would be a great product to use for a project like this, whereas I'd always thought that I would do a cafe. So we decided to join forces, and this is phase one. So yes, we're baking 3 days a week at the moment. So our most immediate plans are to expand to a five-day week, so we can then work with up to 50 or 60 young people with learning disabilities. And then after that's consolidated, yes, we really want to do a cafe, because we think that would enable us to teach a greater range of skills, which would be give more opportunities to our young people.
That's absolutely fantastic. That's brilliant. And how many people do you work with at the moment?
We have 21 regular bakers. We pick up a handful over college holidays, half terms and the longer holidays, who've perhaps been a work experience with us, and they come back to us in the holidays. So it's lovely to see them. So I would think we're probably currently working with around 25, 26 young people.
Wonderful. And whereabouts do you sell the flatbreads?
Well, in lovely delis and farm shops, basically around Bristol and Somerset, as far east as Bath. We've sold them in Beaver Castle, which is up in Nottinghamshire. Yeah. So until now, we've been selling all we could make, but we're in bigger premises now.
Expanding.
And we're expanding.
Fantastic.
Yes. And we're delighted we were chosen to be in the UBS Bank Christmas hampers. So we did send quite a lot down to London before Christmas. So yes, we're expanding.
And talking about the young adults that you're involved with, it's not just Down syndrome.
No, it's not. I'm not quite sure offhand how many have, many of them do have Down syndrome, but we have some young people with autism and other learning disabilities as well.
Yeah. So it's open to the wider
absolutely
community.
Yes, absolutely, yes. We've got two people now in paid employment and one on the way.
Oh, well, that's fantastic, because my next question was, have you had any success stories?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And we were delighted to work with the DSA and WorkFit, and have helped us place two of our young people. So Tom has 4 days a week paid at Greg's Bakery down in Bristol.
Great.
And we have Miss India, who's at the Environment Agency, and I think getting on very well.
Well, we'll talk about WorkFit in a second, because I know that that's really integral to part of your story and what we're talking about now, getting people into work. But going back to Step and Stone, how would, if somebody's listening to this, how would they get their daughter or son involved?
Oh, well, just drop an email. I mean, drop an email to us, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, well, we'll give out some details.
Absolutely, that would be lovely. We have some information sheets for parents and carers that kind of explain what our model is and a little bit of what we're all about. But we're happy to speak to anybody that's interested in being part of us, either as a trainee or as a volunteer or as a retailer, any way at all.
Perfect. Yeah, well, well, that's absolutely brilliant. So we were talking about work fit, and the idea is to get people into some kind of employment.
Mm.
And I know that training and getting young adults into the workplace is very important.
Yes, it's appalling. I mean, across people, adults with learning disabilities, only 6% are in employment,
yeah,
with many, many wishing to be in work and to have that opportunity. Unemployment is really not good for a person. Leads to isolation and, you know, low self-esteem and knock on possibly mental health issues. And mental health issues are devastating for any of us, but for somebody with learning disabilities, they're so much more difficult to find a way out of. So we think that by equipping young people with really work skills, that whether they wish to be in paid employment or in some sort of voluntary work, or just adding value to their community, that's a really empowering and important thing for them.
So you have many young people coming to work with you at Stepping Stone, and how do you see them progress as they spend their time with you?
Well, we see a huge boost in confidence. Very often when somebody comes in, they might be a little bit not sure of what to do. It's a great process for teaching skills. There's a whole host of things you do. So very often somebody will come in, maybe we'll just put them on one thing that they would like best. We had one young lady that came. She was brilliant at making tea, but she didn't really want to get involved in any of the other processes. But my goodness, now she's amazingly adaptable. She'll do any part of the process that she's asked to do. She's a very talented baker and would make an excellent employee.
So they build up confidence. Confidence grows.
Absolutely. And I mean, I could give you so many examples of people that have really, there's not one person I can think of that hasn't shown progress in some way or another. And it's just to see how settled and happy, you can just see the self-esteem growing in front of your eyes, really, because we have expectations. There is something that everybody can do.
And unfortunately, some people have quite low expectations of our children.
I think that's a barrier. I really do think that's a barrier, because if you don't give somebody a chance, how do you know? Yeah. I mean, you might look at either of us and think we can't do, well, not you. You might look at me and think there's a whole host of things I can't do, but please don't prejudge me. Give me a go at it first.
And do you think the wider public still have low expectations?
I think they may well do, and I think that may not be their own fault. They may just not come into contact with people with Down syndrome. So I think that the more our young people or people with Down syndrome are out in the community, I think that's very good. It actually educates people and potential employers,
yeah,
as well.
And I think it's for parents. So when parents can have opportunities like Stepping Stone to send their young children along, and then they can improve themselves, and like you say, the wider community can see them achieving things.
Absolutely, and yes, I mean, and most importantly for the young person themselves, really.
Well, I mean, if they can get into paid employment, then it's wonderful, because then they have money in their pocket and the self-esteem that brings to be able to go to the shop.
Amazing.
And actually have their own hard-earned money to buy things would be such a wonderful confidence builder.
I think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, that said, of course, but, you know, paid work may not be right for everybody. And I know that, like anything in this world, there's, you know, a wide range of abilities. And that would be the same of the people who are coming to see you. And so, you know, paid work may not even, you know, may not be possible for some people. But, you know, an employment solution might include work experience, or voluntary work, or something along these lines.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, paid employment isn't for everybody, but I think some sort of meaningful structure to the day is extremely important. So whether that's sort of some sort of voluntary work, or even helping in the community in some way, having a role really, and feeling needed, and feeling that that they can contribute. That's what all of us need.
I mean, one of the problems that we all have as our children get older, and they may go through school and then college, but then after college, you know, it's, well, what happens then?
Absolutely.
And, you know, what are the options hanging around, you know, watching telly, or, you know, how do you find a job for them? So, you know, we mentioned earlier the DSA app, the Work Fit, which tries to get people into some kind of employment.
Yes.
But you know, it's an important thing for our young people.
It is indeed. I think so many people have put so much work into improving educational opportunities over the years, and I see it as something that sort of grows. You know, they started with the little ones, gone through primary school, now we're getting to secondary school, and now colleges increasingly are doing great work. But I see it all falling off the cliff when it comes to employment, and yet these young people are very often leaving education with some great skills and high expectations. So, you know, we need to fill that gap. So we kind of see ourselves as a bridge, really, sort of between education and the wider world, whether that's employment or some other sort of meaningful structure to the day.
So, but finding the right employment opportunities for the right people is very important.
And
that's why the DSA have this program called the WorkFit.
Yes.
Which trains employers about Down syndrome and how people with Down syndrome can work, so that they can work with their employees to find, you know, to build confidence and
absolutely.
Skills.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
So it's a case of working with the employer to get the right job for the right person.
Yes.
And I think that's the sort of thing that you're doing.
Very often an employer won't realise that actually they could offer a job to a young person with learning disability that they would be well able to do if that job structured well enough. They sort of really showed them very, very, very carefully and very deliberately what to do. And one thing that I think they do many wonderful things, but one thing which we think is absolutely fabulous is that they actually identify a work buddy within the employer. So it's somebody that can actually work with the young person and is the first port of call and is really perhaps sort of not as formal as going to the manager, but, you know, somebody that's really on hand to help them along. And I think that's very important.
Yeah.
And we really, our experience at Stepping Stone is that once somebody does know the ropes and knows what that is expected of them, they're so productive and take such pride in their work, so diligent and really happy to contribute. Yeah. So I think that's very wonderful.
And I think contributing, you know, is really important for the person who's being employed as well, because we definitely need to move away from this concept of just giving people something to do.
Absolutely.
So they can then become a larger part of the community.
Yes.
And again, which is what your basis of your company is.
It is. And a very important part of what we do is to raise perceptions. So the product that we make, we use the most fabulous ingredients that we can find, beautiful organic untreated ships of mill flour, Fussell's extra virgin rapeseed oil from down the road in Somerset.
Nice.
So that it really is, we put really good ingredients in. We expect them to be produced really well. We're very fussy with quality control. We package them beautifully. Our branding, we think, is really nice. We have a strap line at the bottom that says handmade, social and delicious. So that sort of hints that we're a social enterprise. But on the back is the story of our social cause. And we think that that's a reinforcer to buy rather than the main motivation. The main motivation is that this is a delicious product. People want to eat this because it's great. And, oh, isn't that great? They also work with young people with learning disabilities.
Yeah.
We want to show they can do that if we train them properly and we give them the right materials and the right environment to work in. They can really do this.
Yeah.
They really can.
And you said already that you've got a couple of people who've gone on to paid employment.
Yes.
But, you know, perhaps we should say that paid work might not be right for everybody.
Absolutely not.
You know, so like anything in this world, I mean, when I took the photographs of the 365 children all up and down the country, you know, the range of abilities within the Down syndrome community is, you know, well, like anything in life.
Like all of us.
It's from one end to the other.
Yes.
So, you know, we're talking about individuals and, you know, there might be some people listening who will say, well, this isn't for us. But then, you know, perhaps it might be for them.
Yes, I mean, completely. It's really what we're about at Stepping Stone. Yes, we have some amazing sort of up there in light success stories of people who are in paid employment, but we work with a whole range of people. We have so far not said, no, we can't work with anybody.
Open doors.
And we are really proud of that because we see that any single one of us has got something to give. I think it's being not judgmental.
Yeah.
You know, we're not saying that everybody has to be this amazing superstar. And there are superstars in the learning disability and Down syndrome community, but not all of us are superstars.
And you know, just going back to the employment, it might be work experience, it could be voluntary work.
Absolutely.
It could be apprenticeships, doesn't necessarily
absolutely
have to be paid work.
Just contributing in some way, as you said, to the community. And I think that's great for all of us.
Well, talking about the community, you met the other Jane, because you both have children with Down syndrome.
Yes.
And so what does the support of other families mean to you and your family?
Well, I think it's lovely to not feel so isolated, because now, you know, very often people with Down syndrome are encouraged to be in mainstream education, quite rightly. There's lots of wonderful opportunities there, and to be sort of integrated in the community, absolutely rightly. But sometimes that can be a little demoralizing when you see other children progressing at a different rate from yours. So it's lovely to also have friends in the Down syndrome community, families, that you can just sort of swap stories with and sort of feel, yep, I'm not alone here.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've spoken about why you set up Step and Stone, and the main reason was because you want a better future for your son, Andrew.
Yes.
So let's talk about Andrew. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about Andrew.
Yes. Andrew, I mean, he has a great sense of humour. He loves to be in a sort of light, jolly, you know, positive atmosphere. You know, if I'm a bit busy and a bit preoccupied, and he will absorb that and sort of retreat a little bit. But you know, he likes a good laugh. He's got a great sense of humour.
Yeah. So what would make him laugh?
What would make him laugh? Oh, probably me doing something silly.
Silly.
Yes, a bit slapstick probably.
Yeah. What are maybe his strengths or his favourite people?
His favourite people. Oh, probably his dad and his brother and his wonderful sister-in-law Debbie. He's very family orientated, but lots of people really. He loves his drum teacher and various people that have supported him along the way.
Yeah.
His Mrs. Marla, he loves her. I think personally his strength is that he's got the most infectious smile and infectious laugh. So I think when he turns that on, I think that's a wonderful thing for any of us to possess.
It's always a winner. Yeah.
It's always a winner. And he's really good at reading. He's got very good visual skills. So his literacy has always been a strength for him. He learnt to read very early, and that was something that gave huge enjoyment to him and is a strength for him. He's also, I think, because of his visual skills, he's got great eye-hand coordination, so he's really sporty. He's good at things like badminton and tennis, and he likes swimming and that sort of thing. And when he's a good drummer, he's a very good drummer. Yes.
Fantastic. So I can see that clearly very proud of him. Now, what would you say you might worry about?
Yes, well, I mean, Andrew, when he was 15, he had a whole series of life losses, really. We lost two grandmas within a very few weeks of each other. And his brother went away to university. His four best friends had left school all at the same time at the end of that year. And I think he became conscious of the other people in his mainstream school were kind of leaving him behind in all sorts of ways. They were taller, bigger, stronger, faster. You know, the boyfriend, girlfriend things were all happening around him. And it sort of, it caused, over a period of a few months, he just completely retreated into himself. He just stopped. He stopped moving, talking, sleeping, everything that you can imagine. I think that's now beginning to be recognised as a very rare condition, but it can happen with young people with Down syndrome, and it's being recognised as acute regression. It appears to cause a real loss of skills across the board. So we have worked really hard over the last years trying to reteach those skills and bring him back to that, you know, wonderful, happy
he was before.
Person.
And was that something that just happened kind of almost overnight, or was it like a gradual?
It was a period of a few months. I remember in the autumn term, his teachers were beginning to say that he used to be very enthusiastic and would always have a jolly good go at doing whatever it was he was asked. He would sit there with his arms folded.
Yeah.
He was just beginning to opt out a little bit. And then by Christmas, it was really noticeable at home that he was terribly quiet. But by Easter, he was really quite ill. He'd lost 11 or 12 kg in body weight, and he had really come to this place where he had just stopped, really.
Yeah. Yes. And did it take a while to get him back onto track? Or,
it did, yeah? a long time. And, I mean, part of the thing was really that the condition wasn't recognised.
Yeah.
So we tried, we went everywhere, you know, to every specialist that we could think of. But gradually, I'm happy to say that he is coming out of it. And, you know, I think all of us, we learn all through our lives. So I don't see why he should stop now.
No.
So he's much happier. He's in a much better place. It's meant that his focus and his concentration has really gone a little bit out the window. So we're finding that we need to give him a very, very good structure. He responds to a really good structure. He responds to being given opportunities to do the things that he was really good at before, like his drumming, like sports, like just going, you know, he loves musical theatre, so we're just offering him every opportunity to get back into life and to enjoy it again. We're getting there.
Yeah, because I know that you spoke to some other parents who've had similar experiences, so it's you know, quite warming to know that it's getting back onto track.
Yes,
so.
I mean, I don't believe with any one individual that where we are today is that's what we are, that prescribes how we're going to be forever. It's not. You know, we're all walking forward. Maybe 3 steps forward and a couple back.
Yeah.
But if the general direction is forward, that's okay with me.
Well, talking about going forward, I mean, is there anything that you would change about the world we live in that would make the most difference for Andrew? And also, you know, what are your hopes and dreams and ambitions for Andrew's future?
Right. Well, as to what I would change, I think to make the world less judgmental. You know, I think it's important to get to know a person, to understand their strengths and their weaknesses before we make sort of snap judgments of people. So I think the world could be a little bit kinder in that, in not prejudging people. Hopes and dreams. I mean, I find that difficult. And I find that difficult to answer for any child. I mean, my elder son, Alexander, hopes and dreams. Did I have hopes and dreams for him? Well, no different to what my hopes and dreams are for Andrew, that he should be a good person and enjoy life, but go through it, you know, sensitive to other people and, living a life that's good, really.
Well, I think that's exactly it, isn't it? We want the best for our children.
Yes.
I think it's probably the same.
Yes.
You know, whether they have Down syndrome or any
exactly.
difficulties.
Exactly, yes.
And the other kids, you want them to be happy.
Absolutely.
You want them to be good people.
Yes. Always, on a school report, the most important bit to me, and in fact what I skip to first, is that little last paragraph. And I want, if they say that he's a lovely boy or something like that, that's what I want to hear. For both of them.
So I think that we're kind of nearly at the end of our time, I think, and it's gone pretty quickly. But but before we go, I mean, do you have any advice for other parents of children with Down syndrome?
I think enjoy them. I think when Andrew was a few hours old and a paediatrician came to visit me in hospital and said that she thought he may have Down syndrome, I mean, it was quite a shock. And all you can see is those negatives. And I think we worry a lot.
Yeah.
We do worry. Yeah. And we worry more because of the diagnosis. So if I could give advice to myself as a younger parent, I'd say try to go back and enjoy the moment. And, you know, a child is a child, a young person is a young person, and any person is a person. So enjoy that person first.
I think I completely agree with you there. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's been a real pleasure to spend time with you, Jane, and to hear all about Stepping Stone. And, you know, I have to say that we're fortunate that we have people like you on this earth who are out there doing good things. No, absolutely. You're doing good things for our children, but also for the wider community. So, I mean, if our listeners want to know more about Stepping Stone, I think they can visit, is it www.steppingstone.co?
.co, just .co,
just
no,
.co.
No, nothing else,
yeah.
.co. Yes, absolutely, please, and we'd love to tell you more about what we do.
Brilliant. So, my name is Richard Bailey, and please do look out for more podcasts under the Shifting Perspectives headline. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Richard.